Pastor Jenkins had done an excellent job in being able to pronounce my name, especially the last name. When I was in temple, many people had made an attempt to want to call me by my last name. They'll call me everything. And finally, some of them will call me Solomon in the lobby. Whenever they say Solomon in the lobby, I will respond. I know they just can't get a name. And Brother Gary, he did a good job in pronouncing my last name too. I'm glad to be here tonight, especially to be in the house of God among the saints of God. Amen. This church has been supporting us for 35 years. 35 good years, but lastly. And I'm very thankful for the part you have in our ministry. I'm a Nigerian, born in Nigeria, raised Nigerian. And I thank God that you've been praying for missions. You've been giving towards missions. I'm a product of a missionary. I am the product, an answer to your giving, an answer to your prayers. A missionary came, as a result, I got saved. Amen. This is all what's about. Millions like me are going to have a chance of hearing the gospel and getting saved. Amen. When you pray, and when you give, and when missionaries go. This is a vivid result of your giving and prayers. And there are millions like me. Continue. I pray God will help you to give more, to pray more, so that others will have advantage, a privilege of hearing the gospel, at least once in their lives. Thank you so much. I'm in Nigeria, West Africa. Nigeria has 200 million people, mostly Muslims. But Jesus died for them too. He shed his blood for them too. Our ministry in Nigeria are in four phases. The first one, soul winning people to Jesus. Somebody warned me. And the same message that warned me is the same message I preach. And the more I preach the message, the more I'm discovering the power of the gospel is still intact. Souls have been saved. Life have been changed. So we go soul winning. When people are warned, we don't let them go. We plant churches, indigenous independent Baptist churches, where they will grow in faith, and they in turn will go out to reach others. So we are in church planting ministry. We have 29 churches started. Because you are praying and because you are giving. God is blessing. And we don't only have churches, we also have a Bible college. There are people like me who have been saved and called to preach. So we have a Blue Mountain Bible College where people who are saved and called to preach come to the Bible College to be equipped, to be taught the Word of God and be grounded in the Word of God. And I put my burden, I'm getting older. I don't know when God is going to call me into glory. So I want to put my burden upon these men's hearts with the Word of God. Many of them have gone to the cities, towns, and villages planting churches. We also have a minister of Christian Day School. The Bible says you teach a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. And I believe in winning them when they are young. We believe the best avenue to do this is a Christian school. And our Christian school, we have all kinds. Muslims, idol worshippers, they come to the Christian school. And many of them get saved. We have 400 children in our Christian school. God is blessing, and we want to thank God. Pray for us. Whenever God is working, Satan The devil is not going to fold his arm and watch. He will fight. And the weapon that Satan is using in Nigeria, the Muslims. In America, people tell me Muslims are for peace. That's a deceit. They know no peace. And nobody knows peace until he has known the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. They are not for peace. Muslims are treacherous, they are violent, they will kill, they will maim. The deeper they are in the religion, the more hatred they become. They burn our churches, they've killed our pastors. They are not friends. I'm shocked in America to see Muslims building their mosque in different places in America. In Africa, Nigeria especially, where we have the Muslims, they wouldn't even allow you to build a church in their cities. You must go outside the city. I had that experience. Please pray for us. A pastor and his wife were slaughtered, bloody slaughtered, put in a bag and thrown in the water, in the river. Muslims did that. They burned our churches many times. They are enemies of the gospel. Would you pray for us? We are amidst persecution. But you know what? It draws us closer to Jesus. It makes us to win them. Many have been won. And where I have two Muslim preachers saved and called to preach, and they are preaching the gospel. The gospel has power to reach them. Yes. So you pray for us. We have needs. I've shared our need with the pastor. We have a Bible college, but no toilet inside. We have to go out. Pray that God will meet this need. God is good. We thank him. If you have your Bible, I want you to turn with me to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. I've always said I always have difficulties preaching in America. When I'm preaching in America, I'm very nervous. Nervous because of time. I told Pastor Jenkins today, I say in Africa I preach for 1 hour, 15 minutes. And the people will still want more. And while I'm preaching, the ushers will be walking through the aisle. And they will have a long stick. Every usher has a long stick. And if they ever see anybody dozing, they will hit them on the head. And you think that people will be upset? No, they won't get upset. They will say, thank you for waking me up. I came here to hear God's word, and Satan wants to put me to sleep. So thank you for waking me up. Pastor Jenkins assured me, and Brother Gary, say, take off your watch and preach. We want to listen. Oh, you're in for 1 hour, 15 minutes. No, I wouldn't do that. If you have your Bible, Mark chapter 5. I'll read from verses 18 to 20. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord had done for thee and had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Here is a brief story of a man who was victimized with a multitude of demons. This man met the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, when a person meets Christ, Jesus Christ, when you meet him personally, you have a personal encounter with Christ, you will not be the same. There would be a change. Anytime a person meets Christ, there's a change. So this man, when he met Jesus Christ, Christ asked the demons to depart. And immediately, at the command of his word, all the demons departed and the man was set free. In appreciation for what Jesus had done, the man said, from today onwards, I want to be with you. I'll be loyal to you. But my Bible tells me, Jesus said, have it. Following me is going to tell others about what I've done for you. Go home to your friends. Tell them of what I have done. And my Bible tells me the man went home, told his friends, his neighbors, everybody, and went to Decapolis. Decapolis 10. Polis 10. 10 cities. Talking about Jesus Christ. How he had changed his life. How he had compassion on him. He was telling everybody. Today, I believe every person who had had a personal encounter with Jesus, a genuine relationship with Jesus, has a story to tell. If you've met him, and he had found you, you have a story to tell the world. I have a story to tell you. A story about how Jesus saved me, just like this man. I had a story. Whenever I go to churches to speak, the first thing people like to know about me is the scars on my face. I have many scars on my face. I remember I was in a church in Ohio, and the pastor asked me to speak. So I was sitting in the front pew waiting for the pastor to call me to preach. While I was sitting there, I saw two boys. They were sitting behind me, and all they were doing was staring at my face. They wouldn't talk to me. They started staring at my face. I sat put. I wouldn't even talk to them either. They were just staring, and I was sitting there. I wouldn't talk to them. They wouldn't talk to me. But one of them was courageous enough to tap me at my shoulder. I turn around and look at him. He looked at me. He looked at my face. He said, "Are you really from Africa?" I look at him. I say, "I am real African." Then the second one looked at me. He looked at the marking on my face. He said, "The lions really got you good." Well, probably he thought we have lions running around and they got me and tore my face into pieces. But this is not the marking of a lion. I am from the Yoruba tribe. My tribe is from the Yoruba tribe in Nigeria. Nigeria has three predominant tribes. The Hausas in the north, the Yorubas in the south, and then southwest we have the Igbos. East, in the east we have the Igbos. But the Yorubas, that's where I come from. And in my particular tribe, when a child is born many years ago, they put this marking on his face. And the reason why they put this marking on our faces is this. If I walk anywhere in Africa, if anybody sees me, just by looking at the marking on my face, the person will know the tribe that I belong to. Yes, just by looking at the marking. And the person will know the language that I speak. If the person looks closely, he'll be able to tell the area where I was born, just by looking at the marking. If the person will look at the other side, he'll be able to tell the very house where I was born. I have another mark right across my nose. My grandfather was the chief of the tribe. When he dies, my father, being the first son of my grandfather, can be a chief. And I, being the first son of my father, can also become a chief. So they put this mark right above my nose to denote the fact that I was born in a royal home, and someday I can become the chief. But today, I have the greatest of all the market. It's not the facial mark here. It's not the royal mark. It's the mark inside. The marks of Jesus Christ. In Galatians 6:17, Paul, the apostle, he says, henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of Jesus Christ. The marks I cherish today, the mark that is dear to me today, is the inside one, the marks of Jesus. Not many people, they say, Solomon, you can't become a thief. You've lost so much. I haven't lost anything. I have gained. One of these days, I'm going to reign and rule Jesus. I'm a child of the King now. I thank God. Where there is no vision, the people perish. I thank God I have hope today. I thank God I have eternal life. I thank God I've been delivered from condemnation. I thank God I'm on my way to heaven. Before the missionary came to my country, to my very tribe, I had no hope. I was in darkness. I was worshiping and serving the God of my ancestors. He said, Solomon, what was the God you were serving? The God I was serving was a rock, a stone, a big rock. This rock was erected in the center of my house. If you were to come to our home, the first thing you see is the rock. To this rock, we all surround the rock. After we have surrounded the rock, we bow down to that rock. When we bow down to the rock, my father, being the head of the family, will be holding a live chicken in his hand. As he holds a live chicken in his hand, he'll be talking to the rock, talking to the rock. All at a sudden, he'll tear the head of the chicken. When he tears the head of the chicken, you see a hot blood oozing out of the chicken. He will drain the blood of the chicken on the stone god. And after he had drained the blood of the chicken on the stone god, he would then leave the headless chicken to be jumping up and down, struggling to die. If that chicken dies with the stomach facing the sky, it means that idol God has accepted the sacrifice. But if that chicken dies without the stomach facing the sky, we'll be killing chickens, killing chickens, killing chickens until one dies with the stomach facing the sky. I want to thank God today. It is not the blood of chicken. It is the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. Yes. While I was serving this God, some missionaries came. They came to my tribe. When they came to my tribe, they were driven from my tribe. They said they didn't need them. But these missionaries didn't go far. They stayed away from us, and they built a high school. When they built the school, after they built the school, they came back. They said, your children can come to our school free, except that every child might go to chapel, not knowing that they were using the school as a bait to get the gospel to us. So we were sent to the school. I remember before I went to the school, my parents took me to the idol God, and they warned me that God's a jealous God. If I ever go to the school and accept the missionary's God, that God will kill me immediately. So that fear was put on me. I went to the school. The moment I got to the school, they rang a bell that everybody should go to chapel. I wouldn't go to chapel. I took off to the woods, a thick forest. I was there alone when all the students were in the chapel. I climbed a tree so that I can see the campus. That when they close, I would know, so that I would go and join myself to them. But while I was in the tree, something hit me here, cold, just as if somebody was placing an ice block right behind my neck. I turned around to see what touched me. Here was a big python crawling around. When I saw the snake, I quickly jumped down. Started running back to the school. When I got to the school, everybody had gone to chapel. I was frightened by the snake, that I didn't want to be alone. I want to be where people were. And the only place I could go was the chapel. So I went to the chapel. When I got to the chapel, I took my seat at the back. I wasn't going to listen to the missionary. He was preaching. I wouldn't listen. Then all of a sudden, he said, "The blood of chicken." I said, "Who told him? How did he know?" Then he said, "The blood of chicken, the blood of goat, even the blood of cow can never appease God." Then I started listening. Then he said, "God has provided for himself a perfect sacrifice, and that sacrifice is Jesus, his only son. He died, shed his blood, and only the blood of Jesus can appease God for our sins." The moment he said that, I sat down comparing my chicken blood. He says the blood of a person. I was comparing. And after he finished, he gave a meditation. Many people were getting saved. I won't go. I held to my seat. I won't go. He was pleading, persuading us to come. I won't go. You know why? I didn't want to die. I know if I ever get up, my idol God will kill me instantly. So I held to my seat. Then the missionary's wife came, stood in front of the pulpit, singing. While she was singing, tears were dropping down. Tears were dropping down. And something told me, "Look, she is even crying for you." Then I decided, I'm going to go. So I spoke, I said, "Missionary God, I'm going to go to give you my life. If I die on my way, you should know I was coming to you when I died." So God gave me the courage. I got up, started walking. First step, I didn't die. Second step, I didn't die. And something was telling me, "Keep on going. The missionary God is greater than your adult God." So I went forward, as if the missionary was waiting for me. Came down, threw his hand around me. He pointed me to Jesus that day. That was the happiest day. Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day. When Jesus washed my sins away. Friends, are you saved? Have you trusted the blood of Jesus? It's not religion. It's not church. It's a person. Salvation is real. No substitute for whatsoever. It's Jesus. I thank God. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Amen. Only Jesus. Amen. Friends, being in America is not salvation. Being religion is not salvation. Being a Baptist is not salvation. It's Jesus. And I tell you this, if the grace of God can reach me in the jungle of Africa, you have no reason to be lost in America. The same Jesus that saved this poor, wretched African will save you. I want to tell you something. I'm not civilized as you are. I'm not educated as you are. I'm not rich as you are. I know one thing. I'm on my way to heaven. My sins are all forgiven. When I got saved, they gave me New Testament. I got excited. I was reading it. My first victim was my mother. I went home, told my mother I got saved. He said, "You did what?" So you shut up. If you don't, if your father hears about it, you'll be dead. I said, "The God couldn't kill me, now my father will kill me." But I kept on reading the New Testament. I get excited with the story of the New Testament. I will share it with my mother. I will share the story with my mother. Then my mother started asking me questions. I couldn't tell my mother. I couldn't answer all her questions. I told the missionary to come and talk to my mother. process, my mother got saved. When she got saved, she went and told my father. She told me not to tell my father, but when he got saved, he went and told my father. When my father got to know we got saved, we were sent out, persecuted, isolated from the tribe. The missionaries took us in. My father got annoyed, went to the missionary. He wanted to know what the missionary had done to us. The missionary said he hadn't done anything. Jesus did it all. My father got saved. Went home, threw the idol God away. We are now serving Jesus Christ. I started going to the villages. When the missionaries saw the zeal I had to want to tell people about Jesus, they met together. They called me and met together. The missionary said, Solomon, we want to send you to our country to study. When you study, you can come back to your people. You'll be more effective that way. All the missionaries met together. They prayed with me. They asked my father if he would pay my way. They got me a scholarship in temple. So he said he would pay my way. He would buy me the ticket. When after they had prayed and got me the ticket, one missionary had a wallet. I never saw a wallet before. In that wallet, he put $10 and said, Solomon, you go to America, our country, and go to school there. But the plane will be putting you down at Kennedy Airport in New York. When you get to Kennedy Airport, use the $10 in the wallet to take a cab to LaGuardia Airport. Then you get another plane to take you to Tennessee. I had it all written down. Then they prayed with me, drove me to the airport, put me in the plane. Can you just imagine an Africa who had just left Africa, and all at a sudden he finds himself in New York, Kennedy Airport. We talk about confusion. I was so confused. Everything big, lights everywhere. So I was so confused. So I came out from the plane, I had 3 suitcases. And in Africa, when people come out of the plane, you have people who come and help them carry their suitcases. So I stood there waiting for people to come and help me carry my suitcases. Nobody showed up. So I decided I have to carry it the way we do in Africa. I suspended one in my hand, held one with my right hand, another suitcase with my left hand, and started going, walking. Everybody was looking at me. I didn't pay attention to them. I just kept on going. Then I had a problem. There was a big glass door in front of me. And I said, how in the world would I be able to go through the glass door with a suitcase suspended on my head and one on my right hand, one on my left hand? How? Then I was praying. I said, God, you've got to help me here. So I figured out that when I get to the door, I will use the one on my right hand to push the door. If it keep coming to me, I'll use the one on my left hand to hold it. But God should help me so that the one on my head would not fall. So as I was heading towards the glass door, I was praying so that God should help me so that the one on my head wouldn't fall. When I got closer to that door went wide open by itself. I dropped the whole suitcases. I started running, praise the Lord, shouting, praise the Lord. While I was shouting and running, one man got me. He calmed me down. He said, now what are you praising the Lord for? I said, can't you see the Lord open the door for me? Can't you see? The man looked at me. He said, where are you from? I said, I'm from Africa. He said, you're not. Then the best he knew how, he explained it wasn't the Lord, it was electricity. He explained, I still didn't get it. I said, praise the Lord anyway. So I went through that door. I went and sat down. It was 2:30 in the morning. I was looking for a cab. A cab finally came. I went to the cab driver. I said, where? I want to go to LaGuardia. He said, yes, it's going to LaGuardia. I started putting in my suitcases. then I want to pay him right there. I keep my hand in my pocket, everywhere. I couldn't find the wallet, it's gone. I searched. While I was looking, trying to find where I can find it, I could find the wallet. The taxi driver became so impatient, came out, started throwing my things out. Off he drove away. By the time I bent down to want to collect my suitcases, tears were just dropping on bed and bed. Friends, I don't know what you are depending upon in life. I don't know what you are making your crosses. Whatever it is, one of these days it will fail you. Everything failed me in Kennedy Airport in New York. I cried. That was the day I discovered people don't care. People are selfish. When I make an attempt to talk to people, they don't want to listen. They just walk off. Nobody cared. I cried and cried. I want to tell you today, there is God in heaven who cares. There is God in heaven who understands. He cares, he understands, he has the answer. On Thursday evening, Pastor preached about prayer. Christian, Luke 18:1. Prayer is a must. If you are Christian, if you are born again, child of God, pray. It's a must. It's an ought. Prayer is power. Prayer makes God real. If you want to see the reality of God, go into prayer. Pray, pray, pray. If we don't pray, we'll be as if we don't have God. We'll be frustrated. There in New York, when everything failed me, my mind went back to Africa. I could picture my mother. I know my mother. My mother is a lady of means. If she were to be in New York, she would do everything to get me out. But where is my mother? 2:30 in the morning, sleeping in Africa. And maybe snoring. And here I am, not knowing a single person in America, stranded. Then it dawned on me that the missionary that pointed me to Jesus taught me in Sunday school. He said, God is everywhere. So I said, if God is everywhere, he has to be here in New York. I piled my suitcases together. I literally wet my suitcases with tears. And I said, God, I prayed. I said, God, are you here? God, are you here? If you are, here are two things. Choose one, do it, and do it now. And the two things are, take me back to Africa. I want to go. I'll provide a way for me to go to the sea. After I prayed, when I got up, a miracle happened. Three things happened in my life. First thing, no more cry. I wipe my tears. Second, peace, relief. Peace inside. As if nothing had happened. Third, God gave me some boldness, some courage. I started walking in Kennedy Airport as if I owned the whole place. I didn't care anymore. Listen, prayer, prayer. The God who's here, prayer makes him clear. Prayer will change everything if you would believe God and pray. After I prayed, sat down, put my feet on my suitcases, and put a Bible on my lap. I was so tired. I was dozing. But thank God, with all my problem, he that keepeth Israel does not sleep, nor slumber. While I was dozing, thousands of people were walking in Kennedy Airport. One person was attracted by the Bible on my lap and came and sat by me. The moment the person sat by me, I felt it. I opened my eyes. I checked my suitcases. They were there. Then the person asked me, "Are you a Christian?" I said, "Yes, I'm born again child of God." The moment I spoke, my speech betrayed me. He knew I wasn't from America. He said, "What brought you to my country?" I said, "I'm here to go to a Bible college." That shocked him. He said, "You left Africa to come to America to go to a Bible college?" I said, "Yes." The man said, "Where are you going to the Bible college?" I said, "Chattanooga, Tennessee." I couldn't pronounce Chattanooga, Tennessee well. He said, "Where?" I said, "Chattanooga, Tennessee." He said, "Let me see your ticket." I gave him my ticket. I didn't want to give it to him, but I saw him dressed. I gave him my ticket. The man was shocked and more. Then he told me, "My name is Reverend Ben Hayden. I'm a Presbyterian preacher from Chattanooga, Tennessee. And I'm going on the same plane that you're going on. Tell me this. America has 300 million people, 50 states in America, 50 good states with people. Thousands of people were walking in Kennedy Airport, 2:30 in the morning. God couldn't get anybody to talk to me in America for the first time, but somebody from Chattanooga, Tennessee." Jeremiah 33:3, "Call upon me, I will answer you. I will show you great and mighty things." Friends, it was very unpleasant, but I thank God. I thank God he brought me to a place where I had no choice of any kind but to look to him. He didn't fail me. He did not fail me. He showed me great and mighty things. Friends, I believe today you and I do not see great and mighty things happen in our lives because we have refused to call upon. When you call upon him in prayer, he will suffice. When you call upon God, Pastor says two things before he closed last Thursday. That's it. He hammered it. We have God. He hears. He answers. Our God is real. He hears prayers. He answers prayers. Christian, we must need to pray. The man, I didn't know how to read the things. He read it, he knew the time. He helped me carry my suitcases, put me in the taxi. Together, we went to, sat with me on the plane. God gave me a new friend. But all the way from New York to Tennessee, he kept on talking, asking me about Africa, about the Christian. I wish I could shut him down. You know, I was worried. I said, if I get to Chattanooga, what will I do? How would I get to the school? That was my worry. Oh, ye of little faith. Oh, ye of little faith. My faith was so weak. When we got to Chattanooga, I thought he was going to leave me. My heart was beating, panting. He never left me. When God begins a work, he finishes it. He led me to where I could collect my suitcases. Was afraid. I thought he was going to leave me. He stood outside. He said he would stand by me. Then he turned to me and said, "Solomon, my wife will be here. I know where temple is, where the school put my things and drove me straight to the school. Whenever God begins a work, he finishes it. Have faith in God. Friends, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must know that he is, not was. He is now. And he said, the water of them that diligently seek him, they seek for God. 2 weeks in America, no soap to buy, no soap, no toothpaste. I live on the fourth floor, Philip's fourth floor. I'll wait until every student have taken their shower. Then I will sneak into the bathroom, pour water on myself. When I see broken soap out of the water, I use the paste. And because I had to wait for everybody to take their shower and go before I sneak it, I'll go to class late. Then one day, professor called me and said, Solomon, you know you are coming to class late. You're always tardy. You know, 3 tardies, 1 absence. And when there are so many absences, you have to drop the course. That broke my heart. That day, at the dining hall, I went to my room. My roommate was not there. I stood right in the middle of the room. I wept like a baby. I said, God, are you here? I left Africa to come to America to study your way. And you are denying me of soap. Soap to bath. No toothpaste. What kind of preacher do you want to make me? Do you want to make me a stinking preacher? Oh. It's not a joke. I was crying. I said, if I stink, would people listen to the message? Please give me soap. I can't beg and I cannot steal. I need soap. I'm on scholarship. First day, no shower. No toothpaste. I went to class with no shower, no toothpaste. Second day, no shower, no toothpaste. I won't get close to anybody. The third day, I say, God, I'm beginning to stink. I need soap. You know, if I were home and I don't have at all, I can always use my mother's soap. Can't you give me soap? To whom can I go? And I burst into cry. After work, I went to my room. Moment I got to the room, my roommate said, Solomon, did you see the box outside? I said, which box? Outside my door was a big box. On the box, Ladies Missionary Society of Highland Park Baptist Church, wanting to do something for a foreigner. Who is that foreigner? Solomon Owolake. We pushed the box in. I had soap, toothpaste, deodorant, name it, lasted me for 6 months. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and grief to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. But what a privilege we often forfeit. What a needless pain we go through. All because we don't take it to the Lord in prayer. The next day, my roommate sat me down, showed me all the things in the boxes, how to use them. I see them when they take their shower, they will come to the room, they spray here, spray here. My roommate showed me all the cans. I took a one can. I sprayed here and sprayed here after I took it. Taking my shower with soap and toothpaste. I also came and then sprayed, grabbed the cans. Got to class, I felt so uncomfortable. And I said, brother, I don't feel good. My roommate said, didn't you use the can I showed you? I said, I did. So he said, well, some people react to it. So after dining hall, we went to the room. He said, Solomon, now you show me the can you use. Took the can, show it to him. He said, brother, you used the wrong can. I use a spray starch. What am I saying, friends? I only pray for a soup. God did not only give me soup. He gave me soup, deodorant, toothpaste, even spray starch. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. He did it. Friends, I don't know your need right now. I know something. There is God. There is God who can meet that need. If you believe in Him and pray, you see the reality of Jesus. I will tell you more. I have to close. My best American food. My best American food. French fries. Oh, I love French fries. That's my best food. One day, when I came to America, I did not know how to keep time. In Africa, we don't keep time like you do here. I missed breakfast. In the afternoon, I had so many homework assignments, so I was working on my assignment. When I finished, I went to balcony. That's what I do, 35 hours, to pay my way through school. While I was vacuuming, I was supposed to be at dining hall at 5:45. I haven't eaten the whole day. I got there 6:30. They've closed the place. I was so hungry to the point that I went and called the lady. I said, "Mom Parker, I'm hungry. Please let me go to the dining hall. I will wash all the plates." She said, "Solomon, you can. You close the dining hall." I said, "Please, I'm hungry." He said, "No, you're late just like anybody else. You can't go in." So he turned me off. I went and took the vacuum cleaner. Vacuuming, I drank a lot of water. I was still hungry. I knelt down in the classroom. And I said, "God, now I know why you brought me to America. You brought me to America to starve me to death. You know, if I were home and I don't have food at all, my mother has always just leftover food there. Please, God, I don't know how you are going to do it. Give me 10 cents for French fries. At that time, you can buy a French fry for 10 cents a pack. Just 10 cents, God, 10 cents. I know you are bigger. Give me only 10 cents. Friend, I prayed from the depth of my heart for French fries. I looked at it, but I couldn't get it. And I made a mistake. I went to the Happy Corner. It's a restaurant in the campus. I wish I hadn't gone there. I saw American boys and girls. They have just eaten, sitting and eating French fries. I can smell it. And I said, "God, I can't beg. Please give me French fries." I couldn't get it. So I decided I'll go out of the building. The moment I stepped out of the building, when I opened the door to get out, a man met me. His name is Mike Bentley. He's now a missionary to the Jews. When Mike met me, he shook my hand. I saw him slipping $5 into my hand. But I had a problem. He kept on talking. "Solomon, how are you doing? Are you getting to understand American English?" I said, I'm catching up. I'm catching up. Kept on talking. He won't let my hand go. I said, "God, please let him let my hand go." As soon as he let my hand go, I went to Happy Corner. Had 5 packs of French fries. Still have some change left. Friends, what am I saying? It is so sweet to trust in Jesus. Hey, take him at his word. rest upon his promises. Take God at his word. Believe him. It's one thing to know God, to say, I'm saved. It's quite another thing for God to be real to you. Is he real? Prayer, faith, they make God real. My question to you this morning is, this evening is, I know you are saved, but the question is, how real is God to you? He can be real. If you have faith and trust, he won't be God there, he'll be God here. He's real. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know he is. He has walked with me. He has talked with me along life now away. He's real. Is he real to you tonight? Have faith. Believe him with all your heart. You see him.
Man, that's outstanding. We know now that it's okay to eat French fries. Amen. No doubt about it. I'm going to have you bow your head there just for a moment. If you wouldn't mind just to begin to play through something softly. Maybe you're here tonight and do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Maybe you're here tonight and you have a need that you think may just be something small. May I say something to you? If he cares enough to feed Solomon with French fries, he cares about your need. Maybe God's speaking to you. Maybe you're not sure that you've ever trusted Christ as your Savior. Has there ever been a time in your life when you've confessed your sin to him and accepted him? Right now, if you're not sure, won't you leave your place and come? Maybe there's others that have some needs in your life. Right now, as Brother Gary begins to sing, why don't you leave your place and why don't you come? Even now, would you do that as he sings, please?
Come every soul by sin.
Responding, we're almost through. What a way to end the missions conference. Tremendous way to end it. I'm going to tell you, if you're involved in Faith Promise, preacher's going to come in just a moment, we'll proceed here. If you're involved in Faith Promise, your money is going to men like these two men that we've had here tonight. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm glad my wife and I are involved in Faith Promise. If you're not, you're missing out. And understand that when you, now I'm not talking to visitors now, I'm talking to our own church, if you understand that. If you come to this church, this is your church, I'm asking you to get involved in Faith Promise. Because what God is using these men to do, we have over 90 more doing the same thing around the world. But wouldn't you like to see our church be able to put more on the mission field, and do more for the missionaries? I talked to Brother Solomon when he's talking about putting the outhouse indoors. I want to have a part in that too. And God willing, we're going to help him with that too. Let me tell you something. God's all over this kind of work. No doubt about it. And I'm glad God is a God of the small things as well as the big things. There's nothing too big for him and there's nothing too small for him. He's interested in every bit of it. I've been blessed to be here tonight. I hope you feel the same way. We in America are so confined with the watch, so worried about the time. We've been in the presence of two missionaries who are getting the business of God done in our country. This is wonderful. We praise the Lord for it. This is what it's about. No doubt about it. I told my wife, I don't even feel worthy to be in your all's presence. I know it's the Lord. I know it's the Lord. Here's two men who sacrificed to go tell people about the Lord. I'm glad I'm not going to be compared to men like this at the judgment seat of Christ. We do so little, don't we? May the Lord burden our hearts to do more for Him. No doubt about it. Preacher, won't you come and you explain this faith promise card? We're just about through, but you just stay with us, folks.